Welcome to The Wrap. I just had to put my phone on silent. Bez, what have we got around the grounds this week?
Ooh, it's going to be a long one. Southside Flyers are the champions. Ferry Molyneux and Wareham become the first Australian winners of the Women's Premier League, and Football New South Wales have reported just a casual 34% increase in registered players for the upcoming season.
Thank you, Tillies.
The Tillies effect.
For the key story, we'll chat about a bit of a hot topic at the moment, Bez. Why are women not competing in the decathlon at the Olympics?
Personal opinion or proper opinion? Personal. It's Go. Too hard.
My name is Chloe Dalton, and I'm joined every week on the show by my co-host, Bez. We're recording on Gadigal land. Let's take a look around the grounds.
In basketball, the Southside Flyers are the WNBL champs. After a tight win on Thursday in Perth, the Flyers returned home to Melbourne and were outstanding in Game 3, dominating across the court in a 115-81 win. It was a huge final series for the Flyers, and they became the first team to play a Game 3 in both the semifinal and grand final series and win both. It's pretty cool, isn't
it?
That's a word, so you can just be quiet. It was a genuine team effort with Bec Cole, Leilani Mitchell and Maddie Rocci combining for 46 points, and it was Southside's fifth championship, which is pretty cool. And how many do you reckon the Goats won?
Without reading the research?
Yes.
10.
6. You're very generous. It was Lauren Jackson's sixth championship, but she did win her first title 25 years ago.
What?
That is just like her longevity in the game, in the sport, and being able to compete at, like, obviously the reason she's only won 6, I'll give you that, is because she spent a little bit of time winning WNBA championships.
Just getting a jersey retired up in the rafters, MVPs.
So still won 6 at home whilst traveling the world and winning trophies everywhere else.
Very impressive.
American import Mercedes Russell was crowned finals most valuable player. Well done to the Flyers.
In snow sports, Jakara Anthony has finished the season in style, defeating American rival Jalen Koff in Italy to finish the season with 14 victories from 16 moguls events.
Pretty poor. What happened to those other two?
Referring to the three Crystal Globes she'll be taking home, one for the single moguls, one for the dual moguls, and one for the overall win. Far out. Anthony said, it's seriously crazy. I'm going to have some big luggage issues getting back to Australia tomorrow. The season's been absolutely wild. It's hard to put it into words. I'm super proud of what we've been able to achieve with my team around me. I love the use of we.
Yeah.
I think I actually added we in. I've been able to achieve with my team around me. But you know what she meant.
You're just projecting onto Jakara. In future Jakara, let's add some we in there. In surfing. Me and Tyler Wright, no, not we at all. Tyler Wright has found some form, finishing second to French rival Joanne Dufay in the final at Super Tubos in Portugal. The result moved Wright into eighth on the WSL standings and came just when she needed it. She's had a worse start to the season with 2 third-round exits in the opening events, and she was definitely aware of that pressure she was under. She said afterwards, it's amazing. I feel like this has been a really key point for my year. It's taken me a while to figure out some of the different changes that I've had going on. Thank you, Portugal, for having us. I really enjoyed myself. I read an article. She had an operation in the off season. She had screws inserted into her, I want to say, sinus cavity or skull somewhere to actually separate and make bigger tubes for breathing.
Is that to do with the braces?
Not sure.
Different.
But yeah, she's got screws and stuff in it, and it's like literally. She said she's never been able to breathe as well as she has, and things like that.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty crazy, hey?
Wow.
Molly Pickles-Picklem kept a hold of first place and the yellow jersey, and the tour now heads to Australia with the Bells Beach event starting on March 26, pending conditions. If you are in Victoria, get to Bells. It's such a good weekend.
It's been on my bucket list. I haven't done it yet, and
it's
I need to.
You would need to very much rug up. It is fresh.
Mm-hmm. In cricket, it was Elise Perry's Royal Challengers Bangalore against Meg Lanning's Delhi Capitals in the Women's Premier League final on Sunday night. And although Perry was the one who got her team to the final, it was another Aussie that helped RC Bangalore win it. Sophie Molyneux was awarded player of the final after taking 3 wickets in just 1 over to tear the Capitals' top order apart. She was also influential in the field, running out Radha Yadav with a direct hit. The Capitals only managed a total of 113, and Perry would not be left out, steering her team to the total calmly and finishing not out 35 from 37 balls. Bangalore won by 8 wickets with 3 balls to spare. In the process, Elise Perry, Sophie Molyneux and Georgia Wareham became the first Australian winners of the WPL in its second season.
So good.
Cool title.
In rugby union, the grand final replay for the Super Rugby Women's Tournament was a really tough contest on Sunday, and it saw two-time champs Fiji hold on to beat the Queensland Reds 32-21 at Ballymore in Brisbane. Fiji and drew a winger Marawarita Navosa was on debut and was damaging for the champs, scoring at 2 tries. On Saturday, the mighty New South Wales Waratahs got their tournament off to a solid start in Sydney with a 45-10 win over the ACT Brumbies. It was a bit clunky at times, I would say. I think the Brumbies always play a type of rugby that stifles us somehow. But the Waratahs' defence was outstanding. And when given half an opportunity, the class do tend to capitalise. So try-scoring machine Maya Stewart finished with a hat-trick and skipper Piper Duck made metres every time she touched the ball.
I thought they were very, very good. A couple of rusty patches, but I thought overall they were very dominant.
Yeah, it was interesting actually. Reflecting on it after the game, there's a lot of nerves in the change room, which I kind of like. It means they care a lot.
I like a bit of nerves.
But that first one's out, we'll be ready to go for next week.
In football, the Tillies and the 2023 World Cup is the gift that just keeps on giving. That is, it's so true, isn't it? I feel like monthly, maybe even more frequently, we've got more and more data and good things coming out of it. Football New South Wales have reported a 34% increase in registered players for the upcoming season, and the fastest growing player group is women and girls, who now make up 30% of all registrations. That is just so cool.
Facts, numbers, data, proof.
Yeah. The numbers show that there were 25,000 more new players at the end of February compared to the same time last year. The growth is incredible, but it's left the association crying out for greater funding to ensure the infrastructure is in place to facilitate the rapid increase. Football New South Wales Chief Executive John Tsatsimas has highlighted there are a lack of female facilities at many clubs and said, "We need to make sure the next group of girls coming through, the future Matildas, are motivated and encouraged. Ease of access to facilities will allow that to happen so that we are at the top of the game on an international level." He's nailed that.
I just think, again, this is the Matildas' legacy.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And they talk about legacy all the time, and it is on display. In some more football, we've got a new ladder leader after a double from Courtney Vine helped Sydney FC defeat the Wellington Phoenix 4-2. Sky Blues have now gone 7 matches unbeaten and are a point clear of Western United at the top with a game in hand.
Did you see the video? It was so good. So the Phoenix, I think they have a chant and it's like, "Who are you?
Who are you?
Who are you?" And they just yell it out. She turns to them, double fingers, points to her name on the back, and then it's a free kick to, do they even call it that? What do they call it?
Yeah, free.
I was like, am I talking AFLW language here? Free kick to the Sky Blues, goes in, didn't really look like anything was happening. Suddenly she like burst of speed, wins the ball back. They score a goal.
And then she runs to them. And did you see that she did the can't
hear
you?
It was so good. I rated it.
The Melbourne Derby finished in a stalemate after neither the Victory or Melbourne City could find the back of the net. How was it being there?
It was actually incredible. The atmosphere was awesome for the derby. It was really, really cool to see thousands of people there supporting both those teams. It's always a bit disappointing when it's nil all, but great to see a number of Tillies on display. Lots of people coming up to say hello, saying they listen to the podcast every week. They've read the book. Like,
love
it's
that.
Cool atmosphere. I'm just here for women's sport.
Love it.
Let's take a look at the key story. We shared a post on our socials about the fact that Paris 2024 is going to be the first Olympics with gender parity, which is huge. If we look back at 100 years ago, it was about 5% women competing. So the fact that it's 50-50 is huge. One hot topic of discussion is it really gender parity if there are still sports that the women cannot compete in at the Olympics?
So Jordan Gray is an American athlete who holds the highest decathlon score of any woman currently active in the sport. And she's driving a campaign to have the event included in the 2028 Olympic Games. So I do believe her campaign started 3 years ago, striving for 2024.
Right.
She has pivoted now to 2028 because the 2024 schedule was released and women's decathlon was not included.
Pivot.
In 2008 at the Beijing Games, the women's steeplechase was included for the first time. That is a mind-blowing event. Yeah, no words. They're amazing. That change nearly brought equality to the Olympic athletics program, nearly. The only difference now that remains is in the multidiscipline event. Women compete in heptathlon, over 7 events, while men compete in decathlon over 10. So just a little background for you. The heptathlon sees competitors compete the 200 metres, 800 metres, 100 metre hurdles, long jump, high jump, javelin and shot put. Tired just saying it.
But the tired.
The decathlon sees men complete the 100 metres, long jump, shot put, high jump, 400 metres, pole vault, discus, 110 metre hurdles, javelin and the 15, finishes with the 1500 metres.
It's a lot of events, isn't it?
It's 10.
So back to Jordan Gray while we're learning how to count here. She's been campaigning via her website, Let Women Decathlon, for 3 years, as you said, Bez. She's hoping to end what she sees as gender discrimination in the Olympic Games before her home Olympics in 2028. The women's decathlon does take place at events run by the USA Track and Field and the International Association of Athletics Federations, but the Olympics is still holding out. When looking at the reasons for why it's not included, there's some very outdated references, Bez, about women not having the upper body strength for pole vault, which is also just absurd. I think the most absurd thing is all of the individual events women can compete in.
Exactly.
So they have the ability to do it, and there's absolutely no reason to say that they couldn't do it across the 10, across what do you know what period of time it's like, how many days it's done over?
I want to say 3.
I was going to guess 3.
Let's go with it.
Sure. It's once again just a real lack of common sense from what we understand for any reasoning for why women couldn't do it.
When I was reading about this, I was kept trying to search for something that made sense as to why. You know, is it a timing thing? Is it a money thing? And there's really no valid reason for it. It's just, it's one of those, well, just because that's the way it is.
Just because that's the way it's always been. Question.
Yes.
A lot of CrossFitters talk about the fact that if you win CrossFit, you're the fittest person on earth. Decathlon, they argue that if you win the decathlon or the heptathlon as it currently sits, that you're the greatest athlete. I don't know if they say on earth. I feel like that's a CrossFit thing. How do you determine? Is it the athletes that are the best across a range, or is it the athletes that are the very best at what they do in a specific discipline?
Look, I think trying to compare apples and oranges, which I think a CrossFitter is to a track athlete, that's an apple and an orange, is a flawed argument because they're different athletes.
Sorry, I'm trying to say, like, if you are really good at the 10 disciplines or however many is in CrossFit as there is in decathlon, does that mean you're the greatest athlete in the world if you win an event that has multiple athletes versus someone who might be the fastest over 100 meters or a marathon runner? Like, how do you determine who's the greatest athlete in the world? Do you have to do it across multiple disciplines in one event? Because I think no.
Do you want me to just ask you that question? Is that where you were going? I don't know, Chloe. What do you think?
No.
And why is that? Just because, or?
I think it's hard because I think there's a lot of people who potentially, if they did spread themselves out to do the other sports, you don't necessarily know their capacities, but they've focused all of their time and energy into the one discipline.
Which is why I think that the question in itself is flawed, because you're either the greatest CrossFitter, you're the greatest decathleter, you're the greatest. You know what I mean? I don't think anyone could be the greatest athlete of all time.
Yes.
I just don't. It's a false economy. Not here for it.
Great. I'm glad we finally got your answer. Let's take a look at what to watch.
It's March Madness time with the first four kicking off on Thursday, Aussie time. You can catch the games on ESPN via Foxtel. Make sure you keep an eye out for Aussie point guard and scoring machine Georgia Amore, who will play a huge role for the Virginia Tech Hokies. And apparently she's mentioned that she wouldn't mind a little trip back to Australia to play some AFLW.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Big Geelong Cats fan.
Oh.
Disappointment.
I was hoping it was going to be the Giants.
She's only 5'6", though.
Interesting.
But apparently, well, she obviously has some serious hand-eye coordination going on.
There is a huge clash in the Super Rugby Women's Round 2 when the Waratahs travel to Fiji to take on the Drua. Bez, you ready for an exotic trip?
Yeah, I wish it was exotic. It's about 70 hours in Fiji, hit and run. Unfortunately, there won't be a lot of pool time.
Will you be back for the wrap on Monday?
Yes, I'll get back late on Sunday night.
Good. I look forward to your aeroplane research.
It's exactly where it will happen.
The Tars will be keen to knock off the champs and assert some dominance on the tournament. The match kicks off at 2:35 p.m. AEDT on Saturday and will be live on Stan Sport.
And the Suncorp Team Girls Cup is netball's official preseason tournament and will be played in Sydney for the first time. It will take place from Friday the 22nd of March to Sunday the 24th of March at Sydney's Ken Rosewell Arena. It will be the first opportunity for fans to see all eight Suncorp Super Netball teams in 2024, including the newcomers, the Melbourne Mavericks. All games will be live on KO Sports and Foxtel.
And that's the wrap.
That is the wrap. See you next week, friend.
See you next week. Don't forget, every Thursday morning, we've got long form interviews dropping. We listen to your feedback all the time, and we want to be delivering that content to you Thursday morning, 6 a.m. Check it out.
Like, share, subscribe.
Bye.